Hello, website listeners. We're in the midst of some changes at Calvary, as most of you will know by now. And if you aren't aware of what these changes are, you can go back to the Sermons tab on our website and look for the short Calvary remodel explanation that is linked there. It'll have the date of October 15 on it. Implementing these changes at church is going to take me some significant time. And so, with the approval of the Calvary Board, I am preaching four repeat sermons from October 15 through November 5th, sermons I wrote and preached when I was in my first year with you here. They'll be slightly refreshed, but primarily the same as the original time I brought them to you. Not having to write new sermons over this month should give me the time I need for this remodel project. Of course, some of you may not have been at Calvary back when I first arrived, so the sermons being re-preached here will be new to you. And even if you were there the Sunday they were first delivered, I figure it doesn't hurt to hear some of these things over again. So, if some of what you are about to hear sounds familiar to you, that's why. Wanted to give you the heads up on that. Here now is the sermon. So we're in a season that I'm calling Calvary Remodel right now, and I'm continuing today the re-preaching of just a few sermons I brought to you back in my first year as your pastor to attempt to provide me a little more time to work on some other things. But I'll have more to say to you next Sunday about the Calvary Remodel Project. Today I just want to move into the sermon now. This sermon is from back in November of 2013, and I am offering it to the Lord today as an act of worship, as He has been so good to me. Good worship this morning, and boy, our worship team just does such a terrific job every week, and we're so blessed to these people that give their time and energy each week to make sure we have a good experience here on Sunday morning. So thank you, worship team, and you're a blessing to us. But I want to ask you a question now. Who were you worshiping this morning as the band was playing? Were you worshiping, perhaps, the one who Moses encountered in a burning bush long ago? I think maybe that's who you were directing your worship to. Well, Moses dared to ask that being what his name was. And what was the answer that he was given? The answer was, I am who I am. So God said that his name is I am who I am. He is the one who is, the great I am. I believe that's who you are worshiping today. Amen. We're told that in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. I think that's who you might have been worshiping today. Elohim means the strong one. What kind of strength does it take to create a universe? Were you worshiping the creator of stars and planets, of sky and clouds, of wind and rain? Were you worshiping the creator of rainforest and ocean, of canyon and prairie, of mountain and wooded lake? Were you worshiping the creator of dolphin and elephant and starfish and eagle, of lizard and mountain lion, the creator of laughter and smiles and good conversation? Truly, this creator is Adonai Kol Haaretz, the Lord of all the earth. Adonai and Elohim are both plural names. Maybe you knew that. So this creator that you were worshiping today is neither male nor female, and actually he's not even singular. You were worshiping the plural one. When Moses brought the Israelites out of Egypt, they were for a few days without water. But the Lord commanded Moses to throw a piece of wood into some rancid water that they came upon, and the water turned clean. And at that point, God said to Moses, I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. Perhaps you were calling out this morning to the Lord who heals. There was a time when a young man named David volunteered to go battle against a Philistine warrior who stood over 9 feet tall. And David took just a stone and a sling with him. That young man called out to the giant saying, you come against me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel whom you have defied. All those gathered here today will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's. So when the Lord of all heavenly hosts is with you, you don't need sword or spear. I think this morning in worship, you were calling out to the Lord of hosts. David later became king, of course, and somewhere along that point, he also called God El Rakum, the God of mercy. And in the Psalms, we find this name, God our rock. We worship the solid rock, the one who is called the sure foundation. The wise will build their lives upon this rock. Well, let's go back in time just a bit before David, before even Moses, and let's talk a bit about the God who made a covenant with Abram. Genesis 17:1 tells us that when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you," he said, "and will greatly increase your numbers." So this God Almighty promised a child to Abram, you may recall, even though he and his wife were beyond childbearing years, and he pledged to make Abram's descendants numerous and to bless the whole world through them. He then changed Abram's name to Abraham. So we are talking here this morning about the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. That's who you were worshiping earlier. You may recall that when that promised son of Abraham's arrived, God tested Abraham and asked him to sacrifice Isaac on an altar to him. And shocking as it is, that was a somewhat common practice among the people groups in that day. One can only imagine Abraham's anguish as he bound his one and only son to that altar. But at the last moment, God shouted to Abraham and stopped him, saying, "Do not lay a hand on the boy. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket, he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over, took the ram, and sacrificed it instead of his son. And then he gave God a new name that day. He called him Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Abraham's maidservant Hagar had an interaction with God once, and she gave this name to the one who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees me." Perhaps that's who you were worshiping today, the one who sees you. Well, we can learn things about the character of this God you are worshiping today by looking at the names given to him throughout Scripture. The God we've prayed to today is called Elohe Mishpat, the God of justice, and Elohim Emeth, the God of truth. Isaiah called him the upright one. He is also Elohim Avinu, God our Father. Were you worshiping your father today? Jesus called him Abba, Daddy. He is called both the God who is near and the God who is far. "Can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see him?" he asked the prophet Jeremiah. "Do I not fill heaven and earth?" He is both the God who is near and the God who is far. He is called the Holy One, set apart in truth and in purity. The Lord God once spoke to a man named Gideon, and Gideon froze in fear. But then the Lord said to him, "Do not be afraid, have peace." And after that experience with God, Gideon would later call the one he spoke to that day, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. Scripture calls him the covenant keeper. Perhaps that's who you are worshiping today, the one who keeps his promises. We can learn of his character by looking at his names. When it was time for the Israelites to actually enter into the promised land, they had to cross over the Jordan River. And Moses' successor, Joshua, got them all lined up and ready to move. And then, full of faith, he shouted out, "This is how you will know that the living God is among you." And then as those who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant started to walk into that river, the river piled up in a heap upstream so that the Israelites were able to cross on dry land. "This is how you will know that the living God is among you," Joshua said. So another one of his names, the living God. Were you worshiping today the God who lives, the one who is alive with power?
He's named Jehovah Makadosh, the God who sanctifies, the one who makes you holy, the one who keeps working on our characters. Were you asking for this God to hear you today? Jehovah Makadosh, the God who can turn your life around and daily draw you closer to right living and right being. He is, after all, called the potter. We are the clay. Were you calling on a king this morning? Scripture calls him the King of Glory. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. He is the eternal, immortal, and invisible King. This King is the lawgiver. He's a consuming fire. He's the mighty one of Israel. He is Father of lights, a father to the fatherless, the Most High God. He is the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega and the Ancient of Days. Is that who you are worshiping this morning? His spirit is called the Counselor, the Eternal Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter. The consuming fire is also a comforter. Yeah, he's a shepherd, and he will make you lie down in green pastures and lead you beside quiet waters. This king will restore your soul. He is not just God and spirit. There's actually a third element to him as well. Centuries ago, the prophet Isaiah heard from God and announced that one day a virgin would give birth to a son, and he would be called Emmanuel, God with us. You know, I think that maybe I heard during worship earlier, I think maybe I heard someone utter the name Jesus. Perhaps that could be true. Did you mean Jesus of Nazareth? The son of Mary and Joseph? The son of David? The son of man? The son of the Most High God? Did you mean Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith? Think again of the bread we just broke and ate a moment ago in communion. It's not just a symbol of his broken body, for Jesus is called the bread of God, the bread of life, the bread of heaven. And if bread isn't your favorite image, how about light? Jesus is also called the light of the world. He is the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness. He is the bright and morning star. Jesus has been called the day spring, the rising sun who will shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide their feet into the path of peace. Well, one day long ago, Peter and James and John climbed a mountain with Jesus to pray, and it ended up being no ordinary prayer vigil. For in a flash, they were engulfed in light, and suddenly there were Moses and Elijah standing there with them. And the very voice of God came down from above saying, "This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." So Jesus is the chosen one. Did you give honor to the chosen one of God today? Paul called him the image of the invisible God. And Jesus said that himself. If you want to see the Father, look at me. He is the image of God. Jesus was called the wisdom of God. He was called the Word of God, the very thought that comes forth from the Father and breaks into the world with power to act. He is the Word of God, the Logos. He's the head of the church. He is the firstborn from among the dead, just the first. Those who believe will follow him in rising from the dead. Scripture insists on it. Do you believe? Will you follow in the footsteps of the firstborn from among the dead? When Haggai prophesied about Jesus, he called him the desire of all nations. Haggai 2, verses 6 and 7. This is what the Lord Almighty says. "In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and dry land. I'll shake the nations, and the desire of all nations will come. And I will fill the house of the Lord with glory." The desire of all nations. Does America count as one of those nations? Do we desire him? Does this group of Americans here today desire him? Amen. Jesus is called the great high priest. meaning that he is a mediator between us and God. And the writer of the book of Hebrews tells us that when we worship and pray, we can approach God with confidence because of this high priest that we have been given in Jesus. We may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Peter called him the second Adam. Death and resurrection of Jesus initiated a restart in the created order. So you were bowing before the second Adam here this morning. In your life, will you follow the path of the first Adam or the second Adam? Well, what about the names that Jesus had for himself? I imagine we can learn a thing or two from those names as well. I am the gate for the sheep, said Jesus. Whoever enters through me will be saved. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we have, I am the gate for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the vine. You are the branches. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. Jesus is, I am who I am. Yahweh. To understand Jesus, we need to go back to the time of Moses again. The day before Moses was going to lead the Israelites out of their captivity in Egypt, God asked each of them to sacrifice a lamb and smear the blood of that lamb on their doorposts. That night when the Lord brought judgment for sin upon the Egyptians, he passed over the homes that had the blood on them. Centuries later, Jesus, this one you worship this morning, was called the ultimate Passover lamb for those who are marked with his blood through identification with him will also be spared judgment from their sins. Though we deserve punishment, we will be passed over. Jesus is the Passover lamb. When John the Baptist first laid eyes on him, he cried out, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Jesus is the supreme sacrificial lamb, for he was led like a slaughter. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. He did not open his mouth. He bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Did you express devotion this morning to the Passover lamb? Is that who you were worshiping? Did you express thanks to him today for what he's done for you? And indeed, Jesus is the Savior, the Redeemer. He's called the Deliverer. When John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, heard that God was going to use his son to prepare people for the coming of Jesus, he was so overjoyed at the thought that he broke into song, singing about how one day his own son would become the herald for the one who would be God's horn of salvation. So there's another name for Jesus, the horn of salvation. Jesus. The name itself means the Lord saves. The coming of the Savior had been foretold. The Old Testament prophet Zechariah received a message from God years before Jesus walked the earth, and the message from God was this: I'm going to bring my servant the branch, and I will remove the sin of this land in a single day. When Jesus arrived, many people didn't understand that he was the branch, the Savior. And those who did not understand, or those who chose not to believe, disparaged him. They accused him of many things. They even came up with their own name for Jesus. It was Jesus, friend of sinners. And as we've been saying, you can learn a lot about a person by looking at the names given to them. The Apostle Paul called Jesus the gift of God, and we will never receive a greater Christmas gift than the gift God gave us in sending his son. Man, so many names for Jesus and for God in the scripture. Isn't it marvelous? Have you ever seen anything like it? Have you ever encountered a being in which there is such richness and such power in the name? There is power. There is life-altering power. There is eternity-changing power in this name. It says this about the name of Jesus in Acts 4:12. There is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. You need to identify yourself with this name. Are you a Christian? Have you taken his name upon yourself? Do you realize the significance and the depth of what you've done in that act of taking his name? Do you give it the seriousness that it deserves? Well, am I right about who you were worshiping and thinking about as we sang to open our service today? Are these the images and the thoughts that were going through your mind as we entered into praise and worship? It's right of you, by the way, to give honor to this God, this plural being, this Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this life giver. Well, you know, I think that we really need another opportunity to worship here, coming out of this sermon. And I'm going to invite the worship team to come back forward at this time. You know, I just wonder if we gave it our all at the beginning of the service. I wonder if we did it justice. Maybe you were really focused in on who you were singing to and singing about, or maybe you treated it a little more casually, like other things we go through during our weeks. You know, this is what we do. We just show up to church and sing, ho-hum. Well, I hope that this reflection on the names of God has helped you to realize that our worship time here on Sunday mornings is anything but ho-hum. When you sing out to God, when you come into his presence, remember his names. Remember who he has been for you, who he can be for you. Remember his great love for you. Let's not take our relationship with God casually. Let's not take worship casually. That makes no sense to give God a low spot on the priority list. So let's try it again. Will you stand with me now, and we'll prepare to worship. Anna's going to lead us in a repeat of a couple of the songs that we did earlier. And again, we'll lift up the names of God together. Now quickly, before we do this, I have to tell you, those weren't all the names. As we go into worship now, will you remember that you are calling upon the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Promised One? Will you rise to worship the capstone, the cornerstone, the stumbling block, the tried and true stone? Jesus, too, is called a king, King of Israel, King of the saints, King of the ages, King of the Jews. Indeed, he is King of kings, and his kingdom will grow like the mustard seed. He is a judge, the just judge, the judge of Israel, the judge of the living and the dead. He is a lion. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the root of David. He is master and teacher and Lord. He is the seed of Abraham. He is the suffering servant. He is the Amen. In Revelation, he is called the one who is, who was, and who is to come. Jesus is the only begotten of the Father. He is Prince of Peace. And oh, by the way, his name is Wonderful. Will you sing out to God now as we unite our hearts and worship together? Oh God, you are too great of a being to be described through only a single name. You need multiple names, and even then it's not enough to describe your splendor and your goodness. The names we've looked at today tell of your character: strong, mighty, eternal, healer, provider, father to the fatherless, a promise keeper, a sure foundation, merciful comforter and counselor, consuming fire, light of the world, sacrificial servant, Prince of Peace, Friend of Saviors, of Sinners, Savior. That's who you are. We are humbled to be in the presence of such greatness. We are honored and grateful to be given knowledge of you, an open door to a relationship with you. You are our God. Amen. Amen.